I'll tell you what, anything goes today. Last show before Christmas. Dwight Gleason and Kyle Draper out here at the Golden 1 Center. A lot of Kings fans wondered if there might be a rotation change, a lineup change after the loss to the Celtics. Turns out there is, and it looks like Kyle Draper is the beneficiary of that lineup change.
Yeah, exactly. Your boy on the play-by-play tonight. And, you know, I'm not sure what my winning percentage is this season, but it's probably better than Mark Jones.
Come on,
they
Jonesy.
Said, Drapes, yeah. We need you tonight. You know, after that loss the other night, they said, we need Drape's magic. And so I'm bringing it tonight. I'll be on the call. I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
Fired up for tonight.
Obviously, a very special night. Anytime Kevin Durant comes in, and it's interesting, we tend to look at the Suns, given the acquisition they made of, you know, Bradley Beal as one of those elite teams. They're really struggling right now. And as I mentioned on the crossover, they're having some problems that are similar to some of the issues the Kings are having, but the Kings actually have a much better record right now.
Yeah, and when you look at Phoenix, you know, 14 and 13, and we talked briefly, you know, Eric Gordon's chirping a little bit. You know, you got Devin Booker talking as well. And so they're going through it right now. You know, they're struggling right now, and they're without their big man in the middle, Yusef Nurkic. He's not playing tonight because of personal reasons. And you would think, you know, it all depends on expectations, right? When you got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and you trade for Bradley Beal, you're not expected to be 500. You know, 14 and 13 ain't going to cut it. And so, you know, they haven't been whole all season long. I think it's, what, two games, I think, their entire big three have been together. Brad Beal's played with Kevin Durant, I think, three times, and Devin Booker once. And so it's hard to know who these Suns are at this point. Right now, they don't seem to be a very good team. They're not a very good team.
They just lost to Portland.
Like, that's what I was about to say. And they were up 17, I think it was, in that game. And they lost to the Portland Trailblazers, who came back. And so they're reeling a little bit right now. And when you look at their last four games, their only win is against the Wizards, and that was a four-point game.
Wow. 4 points.
So they are going through some issues right now.
And they're talking about communicating and, as we said earlier, holding each other accountable. And I realize some of that sometimes is code for we're not guarding anybody. You know, teams don't ever want to say, you ask a player, what's wrong with the defense? Nobody wants to say, that guy ain't guarding anybody. You know, it's always, oh, well, we have to communicate. We have to hold each other accountable. So clearly that's an issue for the Kings of late. The defense hasn't been what it needs to be. But what do we need to see from the Kings tonight? I know I feel like a lot of Kings fans do, perhaps yourselves. Like, I want to see from the beginning of the game maximum effort. I don't know if that's fair based on what happened, but I think most fans feel like, all right, you got to show me tonight that you really want this.
And it needs to be on the defensive end.
Yeah.
We've seen this Kings team come out fired up, clicking on all cylinders offensively, but that doesn't matter when you're giving up buckets on the other end like we saw the other night against Boston. If you're out there in the first quarter trading buckets, you know, trading three-pointers, that's fool's gold. And I think that's what happened the other night. I need to see an attention to detail defensively tonight with this Sacramento Kings team right from the jump. This needs to be, especially after giving up 144 to those Boston Celtics, defense has to be the priority. I don't care if you hit 53-pointers tonight, Whitey, because we saw the other night. You hit 21 and you still get blown out?
Right.
So it's not about the offense. It's not about the three-point shooting. It's about competing defensively, and that's what we need to see tonight.
Do you think the rotation, the lineup looks any different? Because keep in mind, that was an embarrassing loss, but the Kings had been playing really well on this homestand. So that's a tricky one. Does Mike Brown say, that was unacceptable, I got to do this? Or, you know what, other than that game, we've been playing well, so I'm going to give people a chance again. What would you do? What do you think he will do?
I think he'll stand pat. I think we'll see the same starting five. I could be wrong. I didn't go to shoot around today. I didn't see the guys practicing and who was working out together. But I don't think, because we've talked about it. All right, for instance, who are you going to bench?
I don't know that I'd bench anybody, but what I'm thinking is, like, JaVale McGee's probably back in the rotation.
Right, I think so. But, you know, he's questionable tonight.
Okay.
He has a right wrist situation he's dealing with. So he's questionable. But I'm with you. Based on what I saw the other night, at least JaVale McGee came in and tried to do something. He played with energy. He played with a purpose, blocking shots, battling for rebounds, that kind of thing. And that's the kind of effort you need. The problem the Kings and Mike Brown are having is we've seen flashes of that from all the guys on the roster, but nobody is consistently doing it. And so one game, yeah, sure, JaVale McGee deserves minutes. But what happens three games from now when he goes, you know, it's like
right. We
need consistency from our guys, not just De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. I'm talking to – that's why we don't have a rotation yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha hasn't been consistent. My guy Chris Duarte hasn't – like, the minutes are there to be taken. And Mike Brown, I think, is waiting for somebody
to grab
on
it.
Yes,
yeah.
And grab it on a consistent basis.
Yeah, it's that old chicken or the egg thing where, well, I can't play well because I don't have consistent minutes. Well, if you played better, you'd get the consistent minutes. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, I don't know, man. I tell you what, we win tonight's game and is all forgotten. You know,
a
lot of it, you know, because they still have a chance on this 6-game homestand. If they go 5-1, 4-2, I'm okay with that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, we're A-okay. And so, despite the 25-point beatdown the other night against the Celtics and the big losses they've had this season, their goals are still very much within reach. I want to tell you quickly about Phoenix. I know they got Durant. I know they have Devin Booker. But in my eyes, they don't have a single quality win this season. I'll take that back. They got one quality win. Here's their wins this season, Whitey. They beat the Warriors opening night.
Right.
Golden State. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Pistons. They beat the Bulls. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Blazers. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat the – you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Their one quality win is against Minnesota, and that was early in the season. That was back on November 15th. So this Phoenix Suns team, I know they got the big names. I know it's going to be a test, but – They have not been good this season.
I was never sold on
that. This is the team the Kings should beat tonight.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes, but I was never sold. And in addition to what you said, I wasn't aware of that, but in addition to that, I know that among their losses, they've lost to the Spurs twice,
yes.
And they just lost to the Blazers, as we said.
Yes, they lost to the Spurs twice. They lost to the Blazers. I'll throw another team in there. You know, I'm going back. You know, they lost to the Sixers. They got lost to the Lakers three times,
oof.
It looks like. And we know the Lakers are reeling right now. And so
it's that post in-season tournament curse.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking down the
same
Pacers
thing with Pacers,
yeah.
Too, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But, no, this is a big game tonight, man. And I'm not saying must win. And I haven't looked at the betting lines or anything. But the Kings have to be favored tonight. I don't care who's suiting up for Phoenix. Phoenix is not a good team right now. Sure, they have the capability, but at home after what happened Wednesday, this has to be a Kings win tonight.
By the way, you said, oh, not a must win. It's a little early for that.
Yeah,
but did you
yeah.
see who said that his team's game tomorrow night is a must win?
No.
Anthony Davis. After they lost to Minnesota last night, we were just talking about how the Lakers are reeling, and AD said, this is a must-win for us tomorrow night. That's how bad things are going for the Lakers.
Yeah, and they got a big one against the Thunder tomorrow.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
not an easy matchup, and I believe that's in OKC as well. But are they 1-4 since the in-season tournament, I think the Lakers are, something like that. And so
they're 1-5 now,
I believe. After last night, yeah.
And the one win was against the Spurs.
So, like – half and like 5.5. Like,
yeah,
you don't give them a full win for beating San Antonio, right? They got half a win, but it's crazy. There are a lot of teams that are like, you know what? We need to figure this out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is one of them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
In their eyes, they probably feel like tonight is a must win. We got to get things turned around. Sacramento, despite the record, this is a big game for them. I still haven't recovered from Wednesday night, to be honest with
you. I can tell.
Like, it's PTSD
I can hear walking
into this building.
Right, you know? Right. I know. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that there's so much angst about the Kings right now, and it's understandable, but we're still – everything from last year is so fresh. But I was looking today at their record over the last 10 years on December 22nd, and, you know, this is still – this is a great year. It's not so far – shaping up like last year. You know, expectations last year were so low. But you look at this record compared to the last 10 years, we'll go over it.
We would have taken that any year of the last 17,
you know, you're looking like
8-18, right?
Stuff like that. So it's pretty nice.
Where you're already out of it, right?
As worried as we are, it's pretty nice to be to have the Kings where they are. That said, for me, I'm not even thinking about tomorrow night. You really need this game tonight with a loss against Boston, and then you got Minnesota coming in. I mean, we'll deal with that when we have to deal with that. But I think in that sense, it's a really important win for the Kings. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you're the possibility of three home losses in a row is staring you in the face.
Yeah, and not only that, when you look at the way the Western Conference is, right now we're the four seed, tied with the Clippers who lost last night. But you go on a 2-3-4-game losing streak, you could drop to 8-9 very quickly, you know, in the next week or so. And so you're right. They've done a great job taking care of home court up until this point. They got to finish it out, though. Mm-hmm. These next two games, they got to finish out 2023 at home, hopefully with a couple of wins.
Now, are you a sneakerhead? It's sneakerhead night?
Yeah. Whitey,
son kind of is,
right? You didn't see what I had on my feet today, did you?
I didn't see.
You didn't see. My son told me, Dad, you have to wear these sneakers tonight. I got some off-white Air Maxes, and sneakerheads know what this is. This isn't Jordan. I didn't wear the Jordans tonight. I wore the off-white Air Maxes. And so, yes, I'm a huge sneakerhead.
Nice.
My
nice.
Son is also my daughter.
I don't know exactly what that means, but it is sneakerhead night tonight.
So. Yeah. So I guess they're going to have all kinds of activations.
All right.
One of those shoe cameras, that 360 shoe camera that you can show off your drip with. And so, no, this is a big night, man.
Uh-huh.
The Draper household. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to come dripped out tonight.
What was the first real basketball shoe you ever had or wore?
It was some Jordan 5s, I think it was. This was back, and I was in high school. I'll tell you a sneaker story here in a second. But on my basketball team, we all had the same sneakers.
They were
Jordan 5s, I believe, or Jordan 6. I can't remember which ones we had. But I was the type, I knew how much sneakers were, and so I did not want to put that burden on my parents. And so you remember these. Patrick Ewing had some sneakers back in the day. This is like early 90s, late 80s. And at the time, they were $100, let's say, and they were all the rage. Well, my dad, he took me to, I forget the sneaker store. I got the Patrick Ewing knockoffs, the Pro 500 version of the Patrick Ewing Adidas knockoffs, and I had to cut the tongue off because I didn't want anybody at school to see that they were the fake version.
You got like the Matrick Newing or something.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the Patrick. Yes, exactly. But the problem is I wore them. And I walk in, and everybody's like, ooh, Drapes, those are fire. And this one dude in school, he was like, hold on, let me see. So he went down, and he looked at the tongue of my shoe and saw that I had cut it off. And he is like, oh, I see. And it was just – so that was an embarrassing sneaker moment. So no more knockoffs. Ever since then, I get the real things, the real additions.
Well, I'm sorry to bring back those memories,
yeah, that
but
was tough.
On the other hand, it was funny. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come right back to the Golden One, Hollinger says very nice things about one of the Kings. One of the Kings has made Hollinger's, let's see, all-stocking stuffer team. Tell you all about that when we come back here. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. How about that? You know, yesterday, Kings fans were very upset about Kevin O'Connor, who, by the way, some of the things he said were probably true, right? But Kings fans were very upset that, oh, he doesn't write anything when the Kings are playing well.
Right.
Then the Celtics knock him around, and here he comes.
Yes.
So that was yesterday. But then today in The Athletic, John Hollinger, a guy that we have talked about, who sometimes seems to maybe kind of be dismissive of the Kings. He put together something called his all-stocking stuffer team, which is basically guys that were available to other teams in the summer, and they kind of, you know, hooked on with teams, and all of a sudden, wow, they're playing well. And one of the guys he mentioned was Keon Ellis, which, as we know, is a great story, the way he kind of fell out of the sky for the Kings, and all of a sudden is a guy who's in the rotation.
No, give him some love. What did he say about Keon? You got a subscription to that one?
I will. Yeah, I do, okay, and I will get that up here as quickly as possible.
You didn't have an ESPN subscription. Let me know, man.
I've had the Athletic. Yeah, I've had the Athletic for a while. Just talked about what great defense he's playing and how he's shooting the three ball at a pretty good clip, at a pretty good volume. And long story short, there's a guy in a two way that is there a spot for him on the team? And now he has started.
Yep.
And he's a regular part of the rotation.
No, he's been, I would probably argue, the biggest surprise, I guess, and Hollinger's stocking stuffer is sort of apropos because usually, when you have gifts under the tree, you expect great things.
Right.
Stocking stuffers are, it could go either way,
Yeah.
But then when you get something nice, you're like, man, this is pretty good.
Like you with your Bluetooth speaker, you got, it's a kid's stocking stuffer.
It's so funny. I took that Bluetooth speaker home, because we got it for, a holiday gift here at the station. And my kids were like, another one, Dad? I'm telling you, I got like eight of those things at home. It's like, that's the trendy thing right now. The Kings were giving them out to season ticket holders the other day at one of the games. But no, some stocking stuffers can be really great and really present, big time surprise. And
yeah,
that's what Keon Ellis is. He's been fantastic for the Kings this season.
Stocking stuffer is kind of like, last second, I get a lottery ticket or something. They got Kamara from Portland's on the team, guy with one of my favorite names in the NBA, Goga Pitadze.
He's on there.
And as far as Keon Ellis goes, I think also Duncan Robinson is on this lineup as well. Yeah, but as far as Keon Ellis, let's see here. Ellis has provided juice as a wing defender that has helped the Kings put forward a more competent effort on that end of the floor this season. Wednesday's torching by the Celtics accepted. Ellis has frequently drawn the assignment of the opponent's best guard. And then he actually has, from Twitter, the clip of when, remember against OKC, when Keon went up with that block right at the rack?
Yes. And the thing that Keon is giving Mike Brown is consistent effort every single night on the defensive end. And that's music to Mike Brown's ears. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis, like I said, he's been the biggest revelation this season. I know people wanted to see more of him and thought, man, if this guy can get a shot. But he's sort of taken that role and made it his. I mean, poor Davion Mitchell, our guy, like, Keon's not leaving that, a crack in that door for Davion to even sniff a chance to take that spot back. And so now let me ask you this. Do we give John Hollinger like a pat on the back? Are we cool with him now because of
I'm cool with this.
Okay.
It's a start,
right,
isn't it? he says he's remembered the three part of his 3-and-D role, hitting 37.5% from downtown on relatively high volume. And this is something I haven't really thought about much, but he says after playing mostly off ball at Alabama, Keon Ellis's handle has developed to the point that the Kings can trust him with some backup point guard minutes, which is true. I remember that game he started.
Yeah.
I was afraid. I was, they're just going to trap him and then take the ball from him every time. But they didn't.
No, they didn't. No, he's solid.
He's solid.
And, he played point with Stockton when he was there. Mm-hmm. Had some big games down there with the Stockton Kings. And so, I mean, what's so interesting, about Keon, he was an SEC all defense, defensive player. And so I'm surprised it kind of took this long for Mike Brown to turn to him because knowing how much we need defense. Take over, Whitey. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a good point. I remember watching him in Summer League, and when I saw Keon Ellis in Summer League, he made a lot of shots. He was a pretty good shooter. I didn't know that much about him, and I was talking to Chris Watkins, and Chris said, he's a good defender. If he can just knock down a few shots, he'll get some more minutes. I didn't realize he was that good of a defender, and I thought, my goodness, this guy has to play
because
he's shown he can be a decent shooter. So it's a great story, obviously. And also on this stocking stuffer team, Kyle, is what one of your favorites, Sam Hauser, Boston Celtics.
Oh,
I know you're a big
God.
Sam Hauser guy.
Really?
Yeah.
No, and Sam Hauser's having a decent season. I think he's averaging 9 or 10 points. But, and I don't want it to sound like I'm attacking the guy personally. I don't know him. He's a great shooter.
We're just talking basketball. Yeah.
When it's time to actually win a championship, Sam Hauser is at best, Duncan Robinson, if you know what. And remember, Duncan Robinson got played out of the lineup
right,
a couple of years ago. And that's how I view Sam Hauser. Elite shooter, great shooter. But I feel like teams can take that away in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. Like last year, he didn't play much in the postseason. Had a solid regular season. Everybody's talking about his three-point shooting. But then they couldn't play him in the postseason because, A, teams defended him well. And, B, he can't play defense on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Sam Hauser. Yeah. I feel bad, man. I feel bad.
You shouldn't feel bad. The cool thing about Keon Ellis is, you know, you wonder what it's like for a guy who's up and down like that. And then you hear him talk.
Yeah.
And he's just so just like, is this a great game? The greatest game you've ever had? Well, I guess you could look at it that way, but we have another game tomorrow. You know?
Right.
So why would
right.
I look at it that way? And it's like, oh, okay.
So measured,
no wonder
right?
he's like, been able to just stay where he needs
stay
to stay
yeah.
to be a contributor now. And as you say, the Kings are, is it fair to say they're desperate for more defense? He certainly gives them that. So
yeah, he's desperate. And we looked at the numbers, you know, the defensive rating,
yeah.
the net rating. He was among the best.
Yeah.
Like, he was among the best five out there. And can you play, let's say, him and De'Aaron Fox together? Because you got to have Fox on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or is that too small of a backcourt? With Keon Ellis and De'Aaron Fox out there. But those two could wreak havoc
yes.
defensively
yeah,
out there.
G-Man calls Keon the disruptor. Here's the yeah. rest of the team for what it's worth. The all-stocking stuffers. I mentioned Tumani Kamara, Portland. Also, we got, as I mentioned, Keon. Vince Williams Jr., Memphis. Hey, Memphis
yeah.
won again. Duncan Robinson. Simone's on here. Simone Fontecchio. From
Fontecchio,
Utah. Yeah,
yes.
yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Simone. De'Ron Sharp, Hauser, and the last from Cleveland, Sam Merrill. That's your all-stocking yep. stuffer team, including a Sacramento King.
Anytime John Hollinger says anything positive about a member of the Sacramento Kings team,
uh-huh.
we gotta run with it, right?
Right.
We gotta discuss it, right?
Right, right.
And I know our guy Jay Johnson, he was out yesterday. Jay, I don't know if you heard, I was texting with Kevin O'Connor the other day during that Celtics game, and I'm like, dude, why are you trolling? He's like, I'm not trolling, Drapes. The Kings, if they want to be championship contenders, that's what I'm about. I'm all about winning the championship. And so he went into his spiel as, you know, he's not hating on Sacramento or anything like that. But our thing is, when they win, when they beat OKC, when they beat Denver, when they beat some of these other teams,
where are
Lakers,
you?
Where are you? It's crickets. It's and that's
what did he say back to you, Drake? Because I didn't hear that.
No, I he didn't say anything to that. And
oh.
I texted him. You know, I'm like, yo, we got to get you on the show. Nothing back.
Huh?
Nothing
of course.
Back. And he's not ready to face that smoke.
Yeah,
man.
You know, speaking of,
this would do wonders for him if he came
sure.
on the show.
But you know, today it's the Friday before Christmas,
yeah.
so it's a show. You know, peace and joy. At the same time, Dante Whitner's going to come in here, and I'm worried he's
oh, yeah.
going to bring you too much smoke.
What time we got the hit
3
man,
p.m.
Dante Whitner? I need to. I'm about
yeah.
to get in the gym and do some push-ups, some sit-ups, get ready. Like I'm preparing to go against Mike Tyson because I got a thing of bone.
Little Joe, you little Joe
yeah.
right now?
Yeah, man. I'm little Joe. I'm like this. You know, all it takes is one uppercut, right? One uppercut.
We'll have to give you a signal to Jay where there's a like a safe word where if you want to tap out of the interview,
I know.
You can say it, and then we'll just – we won't mention anything, but then you can just kind of recede.
Well, the problem is I'm going to be outnumbered. We got all these homers, you know, working on the station right now, and I'm sure the callers and the text line and the YouTube line. So I'm going to be outnumbered, but that's how it's been my whole life. I'm ready for it.
That's coming up at 3. Coming up next year. You know, Kevin O'Connor says the Kings, if they want to be a champion, they have to go out and make a major move. Should the Kings give up that much for this All-Star?
Ooh.
The price of one All-Star now supposedly has been revealed. Is it too rich for the Kings? We'll get into that next when we come back to the Golden One. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
We just wrapped up a high school game here at Golden One. Orland beat, I'm not sure who the other team was. Looks like it was 51-30, and I'm not sure this might have been, you know, sophomore game, frost off or something. But anyway, they had a lot of fun. It reminds me, Kyle, going back to, you know, your youth basketball days. I don't know why I always remember this, but one of the first teams I was ever on, and I was like fifth grade, and I was on a church league team in Vallejo.
Uh-huh.
And our First Lutheran, you know, we were not a basketball powerhouse at that time. We had like five guys on the team, maybe six sometimes, you know, if we were lucky. We were playing one church one night, and they had their deep bench. They decided they were going to full court press us the whole game.
Oh, shit.
The whole game, which I've always wondered. Well, I thought it was church league, really, but
church
okay.
League, right?
Yeah, but my point is the scoreboard, we're playing at Springstown Junior High. The scoreboard only had on each side two spots for numbers, right? And I'll never forget this, looking up late in the game at the scoreboard and thinking, huh, if somebody came in right now, they would think that we are winning 11-7. But in fact, we are losing 107-11.
No, you
I'll
didn't
never
lose
forget
that.
That. Yeah,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, that wasn't the
Why,
final.
What are you doing? That should never happen.
We did. We
that,
had
like that
six people.
Happen.
They full court pressed us the whole game.
You should have taken over, big fella. Come on now. What, dude?
Yeah, that's
one of those stories I would probably just push out of my memory.
I don't. I just about, like that scoreboard.
My gosh.
When I every time I see a scoreboard, that's. You know, someone in the back of my mind looking at that scoreboard going, hey, you know what? People coming in now, wow. They think we're winning.
Wow. Who is the coach of that team? Your team I'm talking about.
I think it was one of my brothers. We were better the next year, you know.
Right.
But
hey.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one.
I'm sure it was. Man, you still hung church up
over league.
That too, right?
Church, that shouldn't happen in church league, should it?
What grade were you in?
I think I was in fifth or sixth.
So you're like 12 at max.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weak.
Yeah,
you would think call off the dogs.
It was one of those.
Once
things
you're up by about 50,
I think they were trying to get 100 on us. It was like, oh, let's get 100. You know,
dang.
Then when they did, they didn't feel the need.
That's one of those games. You just quit basketball altogether. You know,
nah.
You take up shuffleboard or badminton or something like nothing athletic. You know, nothing too athletic after getting trounced like that.
I don't want to say what church it was that beat us because they. You know, they own all these stations. But anyway, be that as it may.
There you go.
It's all, you know, water under right. The Carquinez Bridge now. Here's the thing on the price for Lori Markkanen. We've talked about him a lot, right?
Yeah.
I think yesterday was it TC saying, hey, Drake.
Yeah, TC was like.
We could get him.
Yeah, give up Davion in 2 seconds. We might be able to get Lowry Markkanen, I think TC said yesterday.
According to this, TC, that's not going to be enough. I don't know. And by the way, this is also something that Kevin O'Connor wrote. He says, my impression from talking to teams is that an acceptable offer for Lowry Markkanen is something resembling the haul the Jazz received for Mitchell and Gobert. So five-ish firsts and or players of comparable value. This is a lot for a guy in the sense that he doesn't have postseason scoring success like Mitchell or three defensive player of the year trophies like Gobert. As good as Lowry is, he's made an all-star team once, thrived at this level in only one system, but his qualities seem like a fit for virtually any scenario you can imagine. People can talk about Lowry Markkanen and the Kings all they want. To me, it's just like it's a no-go for a number of reasons. The price is one. The other is I need guys that are going to help me defensively, and I don't think he's one of those
right.
guys.
And I love Lowry Markkanen.
I do, too.
Offensive player. Like, I think he's fantastic. You know, but when you look at that price tag, Danny Ainge is not going to be swindled or, you know, give you a guy pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Like, he's trying to maximize whatever guy he has. And so this goes back to what we talked about yesterday on the show, Kings fans. We need to lower our expectations, I think, in terms of an in-season big-name move that's out there for Monty McNair. I just don't see it happening. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Monty is working something I don't know about or we don't know about. But I think we need to revise our trade discussion expectations because those all-star level players, those you know potential all-star players – Pascal Siakam, OG, you know, Markkanen. It's not happening.
Right.
I just don't see it happening.
I think you're right. I think you're spot on. I think you made a great point yesterday when you said the Kings, if they want to add somebody, they're going to have to find somebody that they feel is undervalued. Somebody out there who's like they feel is worth more than his current team and the rest of the league thinks he is. You made a great point yesterday about the picks. Yeah, the Kings have all their number ones here, but you can't trade consecutive years.
Right.
You can't trade. So
and we still owe Atlanta a pick.
Yeah,
yes.
And that is gumming up the works. So it's not like they have stockpiled a bunch of number ones from other teams. So bottom line, if it comes to Lauri Markkanen or any of the names that we've mentioned over and over and over, if there's other teams that want that guy, I can't imagine the Kings putting together a competitive offer that doesn't start with Keegan Murray, and I don't think they do that.
Right, and so that's a non-starter.
It is over.
So, but all right, because I like to give our guys hope. I like to give Kings fans out there hope because we're not saying, uh-oh, Kings fans, this is it. Ain't nothing going to happen. I think we need to really do some research and come up with some other names.
Sure.
You know, and maybe it's us that has to start pushing the narrative of a Matisse Thybulle or a, I'm not even going to say Alex Caruso, because I think what Chicago would want for him.
Yeah, he's going to be
a competition
guy
out there
demand.
For his services.
Right.
Would be too rich for our blood. We need to, you know, who's that second tier guy, that maybe that third tier guy that might not be a starter on your team, but he can be a rotation player.
Don't you think the type of player we're talking about is what they tried to do last year, frankly, with Kessler Edwards?
Yeah.
It hasn't quite worked out yet, but as a guy that, this guy may be undervalued. Let's bring
him
in.
Undervalued, yeah. Diamond in the rough kind of thing. You know, let's get him in our system.
Right.
You know, he has some potential. Let's shine him up, and then he comes out there. And you could say the same thing with Chris Duarte, too. You know, bringing Chris Duarte, who had a solid rookie campaign in Indiana, and it hasn't panned out. And so, but I'm not ready to write off Sasha yet, Chris Duarte yet. You know, it's amazing, you know, some of the chatter I see out there about these guys, and there's a lot of games left to be played. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I wish Mike Brown would play Sasha 15 to 20 minutes a night. Sasha, you are in the rotation. You're our guy. Now, after 10, 15 games, it's not working? Okay. But I don't know how good Sasha can be. Are we labeling him a bust already? Are we saying Chris Duarte can't get it done already? Like, these guys really haven't been given the opportunity as far as I'm concerned. And it, a part of it is on them. Part of it is on them, like we talked about it earlier. You got to, you know, be consistent in the minutes that you get. But let's not forget, Chris Duarte single-handedly changed the game in San Antonio. On the road, the Spurs came out fired up. They were playing extremely well. Mike Brown puts in Chris Duarte. He picks up full court defensively, you know, creates havoc for Jeremy Sochan, and then the Kings start going after that. And so the problem is we've seen all of our guys show flashes. We just haven't seen it consistently enough.
Yeah, King Me says, pretty sure Markkanen has more blocks and steals than Sabonis, so not going to help defensively. Bad take. No, there's more to it than blocks and steals, King Me. He also suggests this trade. Sabonis, HB, and Duarte for Markkanen, Collins, and Taylor Horton Tucker.
Say that again? What? Sabonis,
this is the guy that said I had a bad take, okay? Sabonis, HB, and Duarte for Markkanen, Collins, and Taylor Horton Tucker.
So he just want to turn us into Utah, basically.
Right,
he want to trade half our
team. Why wouldn't you?
Right, exactly. Come on, man. Come on now. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Sabonis, first of all, is not going to be traded. He's not going anywhere. So get that out of your mind, whoever came up with that.
That was King Me.
King Me?
Yeah.
And King Me's my guy. He supports me on here. I see you out there, King Me. But some of your takes are terrible, bro. Some of, you know, some of your trade ideas, that's not going to fly. And so I don't know what Monty McNair can do. But those big names, the Markkanens, the Siakams, I think we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. We're like the San Francisco Giants. Oh, we're in the running for Shohei. We can get Shohei, and then the Dodgers get him. We can get Yamamoto.
Sayonara, Yamamoto-san.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's not set ourselves up for that.
What about you mentioned somewhere you saw a Zion
Trade question? Somebody asked a question on the text line, 916-339-1140. If Zion was available, would you want him on the Sacramento Kings?
No.
What?
No.
My God.
He's too risky. You don't know if he even wants to play. You don't know if he – can you count on him? Can you build around him? I'd like to think I can, but I don't know. So why would I want to take that gamble?
We didn't say what you would have to give up or anything. He said, if you could get Zion, would you want him? And I would love to have Zion Williamson on our team. I think what you're seeing with Zion is the public narrative that's being pushed out there in the media does not actually fit the actual production on the court. Let's look at Zion Williamson. Let's look at Zion Williamson as I pull up some of his numbers this season. He's averaging 22 points, close to 6 rebounds, close to 5 assists. He's shooting 58% from the field. And we don't want Zion Williamson?
There's more to Zion than the numbers. That's why there's a question as to whether they'll keep him. They don't know if they can count on him or not. You know that's true.
He's 23.
I don't care how old he is. He's a foundational piece for them, and they're not sure. He even said, I'm trying to buy in because of the risk. I understand what you're saying about the talent, but it's such a gamble to hit your wagon to a guy like that.
We don't even know what we'd have to give up. What do we mean? What do you mean? That was not the question. The question was, if Zion was available, would you want him on the Kings?
I'm assuming I'd have to give up something to get him. But you're saying he just comes over and says, hey, I got tired of those guys.
I'm talking from a basketball standpoint. Remember, we talked yesterday. There's a lot of question marks with a lot of guys out there. With Pascal, there's question marks. With OG,
I don't want him either.
With Zach LaVine. You know, with Jeremy Grant, what has Jeremy Grant ever done in his career other than put up empty numbers? And so there's question marks for all these guys. I'm talking from a basketball standpoint. Would we want Zion Williamson in this system under Mike Brown?
If we didn't have to give up anything to get him.
Right. Yeah, I'm just talking from a basketball fit standpoint.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we want to get into trade packages, well, you got to give this up, 6 first-rounders, then we can have that discussion. But that's not what the texter said, Whitey.
Well,
he said, if Zion was available, would you want him?
Yeah, seems fair to assume you would have to give up something to get him. But okay, if I get
play
him
along
for nothing.
With, I'm saying yeah. play along with
okay, yeah.
From a basketball standpoint, yay or nay?
He's too risky right now.
Jake,
great
can we
player.
Create a poll? Can somebody get a poll on the YouTube chat right now? Because I love Zion. I would love to have Zion. Of course, what would you have to give up? We can have that discussion. But from a basketball standpoint, I'm not ready to give up on 23-year-old Zion Williamson yet.
I'm not ready to give up on him either, but I'm not willing to take that risk. Although, as we said yesterday, that may be what you have to do, like when the Kings got Chris Webber because other teams didn't want him. And it worked out. Be
right.
a brilliant move.
It worked
so you may be
out,
onto
right.
something
that's
there.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you take
Small
him out of
team.
New Orleans,
uh-huh.
A situation that maybe he's struggling with, and you give him a fresh start here in Sacramento? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see if we can't get a poll going on that. When we come right back, can you guess the NBA city in which sell the team chants have begun? Sell the team! The answer's next year from the Golden 1 Center with a drive guy. Well, Kyle Draper, you asked for it. So now you're going to get it top of the hour. Dante Whitner, the hitman, will join us to explain.
Oh, that's coming up top of the hour?
Top of the hour.
I'm not ready yet. I'm nervous.
He'll explain his fascinating theory on how we should really be comparing Brock Purdy to Tom Brady. So we're looking forward to that. Also, you asked for it. You got it. Here's Jay. Jay, tell us about the poll that you've just posted for us, please.
Yeah, thank you, Simone, as well for making that happen for the drive guys.
Okay.
But just nice, short, quick, sweet, fellas. If Zion, the Big Z, was available, would you take him on the Kings? Wouldn't put no what you have to give up, no compensation if you send
right,
it over,
right,
you
right,
know,
right.
what player, how much of the bag of burger or Mercedes-Benz like my boy Drapes. No matter what you have to do, fact of the matter is if Zion was available, would you accept him on the Sacramento Kings? Right now, looks like... Let's see here. Right now, the yes is winning 56%. Yes.
Could still go any which way.
44.
Amadrock here. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Simone. Amadrock on the YouTube chat says, according to the contract, which was reviewed by The Athletic,
yep.
final 3 years of the deal are no longer guaranteed after Williamson was able to only play in 29 games last season. By missing more than 22 games last season, Williamson triggered a clause that turned the salary he is owed for upcoming seasons from guaranteed to non-guaranteed.
The next
that doesn't
three.
Necessarily mean
it's
that
the next three.
Yeah. yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. That doesn't mean that the Pelicans are looking to wash their hands from him.
Right.
But that's
right.
not really what we're talking about.
Right. And contract, it doesn't matter. We're not talking that. I'm talking strictly basketball. And I think it's 50-50. Right about now, Scooter 916 says, of course, I mean, D-cuz without the me attitude. That's Scooter 916 saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if Kings fans really say no, What are we talking? This is Zion Williamson. From a basketball standpoint?
Well, it almost seems like you're saying pretend that the other things aren't real or something. I don't follow you.
Well, tell me the other things. Tell me the other things.
The fact that he is not as committed as the Pelicans would like him to be. According to reports, there may be issues, understandably, with him staying in shape. He gets hurt a lot. These are all facts. And doesn't mean he's a bad guy, or doesn't mean, oh, I don't want any part of him, but you're assuming a lot of risk if you bring that guy in, unless we're saying, oh, we're going to get him like a minimum salary. But
I don't
understand
even care about the money. I don't care about the contract. I'm talking the player, the basketball player. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy is 23. First of all, I'm not 100% sure what's going on down there in New Orleans, but let's not act like the Pelicans have been the most model franchise in all of sports or anything like that. Remember, DeMarcus Cousins bounced out of there. Anthony Davis bounced up out of there. Zion clearly is having an issue with, and we talked about it earlier this season, when he said he's trying to buy in, trying to figure, like, I think there's more going on than just basketball down there, and he might be a guy that needs a fresh start. For instance, we're talking about all these players. We're talking about diamonds in the rough. Guys, I remember there was a player, Boris Diaw. Remember Boris Diaw?
Of course.
Boris Diaw was in Charlotte playing for the Lowly Hornets. Wasn't available. Sat out games. All of a sudden, he gets traded to, was it San Antonio?
Uh-huh.
I think. All of a sudden, he's playing 80 games a season. He's looking fantastic. I think a lot of times what happens with players in the NBA, they need a fresh start. And so for me, the Zion you see in New Orleans, if I'm Monty McNair, Mike Brown, I feel like you bring him into this organization with Mike Brown as head coach, with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, I think you would get more out of him. And let's not forget, the thing about Zion, last season, only played 29 games, 26 points, 7 rebounds. Season before that, had the big injury, sat out all that season. His second year, played 61 games, 27 points, and 7 rebounds. And so my thought is, and we're not talking about what you would have to give up and all that, but you bring him to Sacramento, you could rehabilitate him, and he might not necessarily be the same, you know, let's say out of shape or having trouble with the weight. Like, things change, man.
He doesn't play. That's the thing.
Hold on. He's played 23 games this season.
How many games has he played in his career?
I just told you. Last season, he had the hamstring, was injured.
What's the most games he's played in a season?
61. 60. That's more than LeBron played last season. That's more than Anthony Davis played last season. Are you telling me you wouldn't want those guys either?
That's a false comparison.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you just said he doesn't play. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You bring him here, and we're not talking about what it would take to give up. That's not the conversation I'm having, Whitey. I'm having from a basketball player's standpoint.
It sounds like every time you say, would you want him? And every time I give a possible reason why I wouldn't, you say, well, I'm not including that. So I'm having a hard time understanding. Well,
as my guy Mojo says, remember Charles Barkley was once known as the round mound of Charles Barkley had a weight issue early in his career.
Yeah, but he didn't have the dedication issues. He played, and he played hard, and he played well for many years in Philadelphia.
So you don't think Zion plays hard?
I don't think he plays. He doesn't play. That's a fact.
I can't hold injury as a character flaw against
him. I didn't say it's a character flaw.
But that's the way you're making it sound. That's the way you're making it sound.
No, that's you're inferring something, but I'm not implying it. If the guy doesn't play for whatever reason, it's a big risk for me to bring him on. If he's hurt a lot, that doesn't mean – I'm not saying he's terrible. He's always hurt. I'm just saying I don't think I want to hitch my wagon to a guy who's not available.
So if
that's
I said
–
Oh, it'll take 2 second-round picks to get Zion. I'm just saying, because we're not talking price. I'm talking from a basket. You wouldn't want to add a Zion to this roster?
I guess in theory, I mean, if it's no one else wants him and it costs
me
nothing,
I'm just going
why
by
not?
With the texter,
yeah.
The question from
uh-huh.
the texter.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say, if we had to give up Keegan, would you want Zion? Or you had to give up 8 first-round picks, would you want Zion? just I'm talking to basketball. I think Zion has plenty of great basketball left in him.
I hope you're right.
I think there's still a tremendous upside to Zion Williams.
I hope you're right. I would love to see it. Yeah, it'd be fun to see him play here. It's hard to imagine, but if I don't have to give up anything to get him, and you're guaranteeing me he's going to play 82 games a year, sign me up.
Zero players play 80. There's four guys in the entire league that play 80. You can't give me that. Why do you can't say that? You know, there's a reason why the NBA put the 65-game rule in, because guys sit out. Anthony Davis, for instance. We could say he's never healthy. But give me AD on this team any day of the week. I would take Anthony Davis.
Oh, we will come back to the conversation, but we got to take a timeout here and get ready for the Hitman, Dante.
Hey, this was just a warm-up. Yeah. This discussion. Now I'm ready.
Dante Whitner will share with us his theory on why he thinks Brock Purdy should be compared to the GOAT, Tom Brady. Next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.